The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Before I commenced work here at Rangeville, I worked at a university where I had the joy of teaching anatomy and physiology. It was a joy because the human body is so amazing. The way it all works, the different organs, the way they interact with each other. And when I was teaching about an organ, let's say the heart, I might say the way the heart was made allows it to pump blood effectively. And sometimes a student might ask me, why do you always say the way the heart was made instead of the way the heart evolved? You see, for me, I believe the heart was made. Every part of the human body was made by an awesome creator. And so today we are going to look at who made us, what we consist of, and our purpose. Today is the third in a series of messages that we're doing on the reality of the spirit realm. And so as we consider what the spirit realm is, we're going to look at what it is, our part in it, and God-given resources for spiritual warfare. And we're doing that over a number of weeks. And for those who aren't familiar with the spirit realm, the definition we're using, it's the non-physical reality that exists beyond the physical universe. It's usually unseen. And so we started this series by looking at who is God. Last week we looked at who are angels. Today we are looking at who are humans. And last week when we looked at who are angels, we saw that humans are created just a little bit lower than angels. So if we come now to the question of who are humans, we have to go right back to the very first book of the Bible. In fact, the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And in verse 27, we find this verse. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God created humans. Male and female. He created them in his own image. Now, if we go to the New Testament, we find that Jesus' brother James said something similar. He said, human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Now, when we consider God, God is a spirit, and he created humans with a spirit to allow relationship with him. He created us with a soul that gives us the ability to acquire knowledge, to gain understanding, to develop wisdom. He created us with a body that we could work and serve in creation. Now, we find this in the next verse in Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It says, God blessed them, that is Adam and Eve, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So in this passage, we see that God calls humans to be fruitful, to have families, to populate his creation and to subdue it or steward it. That means to look after it, to cause it to grow in healthy ways and to keep out what is unhealthy. And God created Adam and Eve in his own image to reveal his glory and his goodness in creation. Now, in this series, we are asking big questions. Who is God? That's a big question, right? Who are angels? Who are humans? And we're seeking to understand them. In this series, we're looking at a lot of scripture. We're looking at creeds. So these statements of belief about the Christian faith have been written over hundreds of years. And we're even looking at some catechisms. One of the catechisms that I mentioned last week was the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And the very first question that it asks is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So in other words, God created humans so that we could glorify God in every aspect of our lives, through the beauty of our bodies, through our thoughts, words, and actions. God intended that we would flourish and enjoy this life and the beauty of the world that he's given us. But it didn't remain perfect. We get to Genesis chapter 3, and we find there's a conversation between Eve and Satan, who's in the form of a serpent. And there Satan tempts Eve to gain knowledge and wisdom like God. So Satan says to Eve, for God knows that when you eat from it, that's from a tree of knowledge of good and evil, when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. See, Satan was tempting Eve to seek to get her to elevate herself to God's position, to be like God. And she fell for that temptation and she brought Adam into it as well. The introduction of sin into creation had huge consequences. It broke the relationship between God and humanity, which until then had had no barriers. It was now marred by sin. Sin resulted in Adam and Eve being removed from the garden, and sin introduced dysfunction and disease and death into creation, affecting humans in every dimension. When I talk about every dimension, see, God created humans as three parts. We sometimes call it a tripartite being, spirit, soul, and body. We find this in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the next little bit, I'm going to go through and look at what is the spirit of a human, what is the soul, what is the body, and how have they been impacted by sin? We have to realize our culture today is a consequence or has been influenced by what has happened previously. If we go back to a period in the late 1600s, it was a period called the period of enlightenment. And in that period of enlightenment, it was a time where reason and rationality and evidence prevailed. The argument that developed in society was that if science couldn't prove it, it wasn't real. And that led to an increasing rejection of many Christian views and values, which we see today. And that included a rejection of the reality of the spirit realm, and therefore an increasing rejection in the reality of God, of angels, of demons, and of human spirits. But in the recent years, there's been a resurgence of interest in the reality of the spirit realm, which is why we're looking in this series at the reality of the spirit realm. And that includes the spiritual dimension of humans. See, when God created us, he created us with a spirit. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 1 says, the Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundations of the earth, and who forms the human spirit within a person. God created us with a spirit. It is with us from conception, through our growth, through our years of life, and it departs from us when we die. We see that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 7. And the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. See, our spirit is that part of us that relates to God in both conscious and unconscious ways. There are times when we consciously engage with God spiritually, like we did earlier. We were praying. When we pray, we might engage with our physical bodies. Some people might kneel. Some people will put their hands together, bow their heads, close their eyes. They form a posture of prayer. And then they use their mind and they start to think about the words that they're going to say. But prayer is also a deeply spiritual act of engaging our spirit with God. When we read the Bible, our spirit is alert. It's engaging with God's word. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says that, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. But you see, our spirit is not limited to interacting with God only when we pray or only when we read the Bible. Sometimes taking a walk through nature can be a deeply spiritual act as you see the beauty of creation and as you worship your Creator. Do you know when you are in your workplace and you are working, or whether you are volunteering, whether it be here or somewhere else, it can be a deeply spiritual act because you are using the gifts and abilities that God has given you to make creation a better place. And that's a spiritual activity of worship. And you see, our spirits can also interact with other people's spirits in healthy and unhealthy ways. Let's look at one example of this. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where he talks about sexual intimacy. As we look at this in the Message paraphrase, it says this: there is more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As written in Scripture, the two become one. In other words, in body, soul, and spirit. Since we want to become spiritually one with the Master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever. The kind of sex that can never become one. See, sexual intimacy is an example where the whole person in body, soul, and spirit is deeply connected with another person in body, soul, and spirit. And that can be in really healthy ways, like in the commitment of a loving marriage, or it can be in unhealthy ways, through casual sex or abusive sex. And there are other ways that human spirits can interact with others, such as in astral travelling, where a human spirit is involved in deliberate out-of-body experiences, whether that's in a trance or in occult activity. So all of that is aspects around the human spirit that God has given us. Now let's look at the soul. The soul is typically considered to have three parts: the mind, the will, and the emotions. I'm going to talk about these three separately at first, but you can't actually fully separate them because together they make up the soul of who you are. And so when we think of the mind, it's not the physical brain we're talking about. That's an anatomical structure. But it's a consciousness that deals with all the information received through the five senses of sight and sound and smell and taste and touch. So your mind is receiving all that sensory information, and it's processing that information, it's making decisions based on that information, and it's storing some of it as memories. And the mind has the ability to be creative. Now that makes sense, because we were made by an awesome Creator. We were made in the image of our Creator. Our mind can be influenced negatively by what we expose ourselves to through our five senses. Let's take the example of what we see and what we hear. If you're watching media that is inappropriate, or you are listening to podcasts or music that's ungodly, your mind will process what you're hearing and seeing. Then you may make ungodly decisions based on what you have seen or heard. And there is some stuff that you have trouble unseeing, right? There are memories that are formed that, oh, you wish they weren't there. See, depending on what you expose yourself to, your minds can become conformed to that. It can become conformed to the ungodly things in the world. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." In other words, don't conform to those things that are bombarding you, that you are allowing to come into you that you may dwell on. But rather, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, this is the good news. The good news is your mind doesn't have to stay conformed to the sinful ways. Through Christ, your mind can be transformed, it says here, by the renewing of your mind. There are times when you should be conscious about the thoughts you entertain in your mind. Paul talks about this as taking every thought captive. He wrote here, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." In other words, there are times when you have to consciously choose to stop daydreaming. When you are daydreaming about something that is ungodly, or when you are dwelling on a thought that you know is wrong, and you have to consciously choose and go, "I'm not going to keep thinking about that." You take that thought captive. And in its place, you choose to think about something that is good, something that's godly. That's what it means. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Do you know, your mind is constantly receiving information through your five senses. You're constantly being bombarded with information, and your brain is trying to process that. But what do you do with all that? You make decisions. The decisions you make is based on what is coming into you. The part of your soul that is involved in making decisions is called the will. Did you know the average adult will make 35,000 decisions every day? And you wonder why you get tired, right? 35,000 decisions. The good news is most of those are automatic. You've done it once, you've done it 1,000 times. And so therefore, you don't even have to stop and think about it. You just do it. But there are some things where you have to stop and make a conscious decision. You've got to spend more time. You've got to allocate more mental bandwidth so you can actually process it and decide, am I going to do that or am I not going to do that? And the decisions you make affect your behavior. If you have to speak, you've got to decide, am I going to ask a question or am I going to make a statement? Am I going to respond with a kind tone or an angry tone? And am I going to be sarcastic or respond in good nature or with humour? When you're tired, you have to decide, am I going to keep scrolling or am I going to stop? Because I know if I keep scrolling when I become more tired, I'm more tempted to watch something I shouldn't watch. See, John 1:13 uses the example of the will in talking about the conception of a child. Children not born of a natural descent, in other words, that's the spiritual birth, but then goes on, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So acknowledging here that the conception of a child involves a human decision or a husband's will. Now, the third part of our soul are your emotions. Emotions are feelings. They're the feelings we experience in response to various stimuli in the world around us. Some of those stimuli are external, coming to us through the five senses. In other words, you walk into a home and there's a beautiful aroma of dinner. And you have good feelings, right? On the other hand, you see someone being treated unfairly and you feel anger. Emotions don't only just arise from external stimuli, they arise from internal stimuli, like memories from your mind. You remember something and you become angry about it. You remember something else and you're happy about it. Or reactions from bad decisions you've made. You said something to someone and you see their response and you become angry at yourself and you go, I shouldn't have said that. Or I didn't mean it that way. And you react with emotion. See, emotions can be positive, they can be negative, or they can be neutral. God created us to express emotions. They can bring positive vibes to those around us. They can have a negative impact on those around us. Our emotions can cause our own self to feel good about ourselves or to feel disappointed about how we're handling a situation. The Bible has many, many descriptions and verses about emotions, about fear, anger, grief, happiness, and many, many more. And so you can see that your mind, will, and emotions are all closely linked. They're interacting as your soul, and together they form a really important expression as personality, who you are. So now that we've considered humans as body and as soul, as spirit and as soul, what about the body? Now the body is easier in some ways because you can see it. You can look around the room, you can see each person, and you can see if they're healthy, if they're well, if they're unwell. You can't necessarily do that with someone's soul or their spirit. See, God made each of your bodies. These beautiful words in Psalm 139 say this: "For you knit my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." See, God made your body, which grows from conception through childhood, then through adolescence when there's all these changings happening really, really rapidly. Then there's middle age, and then there's, some people don't like this next expression, old age. Our physical bodies can be injured. They can suffer sickness, but they're incredibly resilient. They have an amazing capacity to heal. As we consider who are humans, we need to be aware that each part of us can interact with the seen and the unseen realms. Our spirit can interact with the spirit realm of God and his angels and of demons. Our spirit can be sensitive to the spirit of another person. For example, you can be in the presence of another person and feel their warmth and their love. You can be in the presence of a different person and have a sense of inherent evil. Some religious experiences promote the reading of the spirits of another person, or out-of-body experiences where their spirit can dissociate from their body and engage spiritually. People can interact with other people on the level of their soul through what they say. You may have heard of the expression emotional intelligence. Some people have really high emotional intelligence and just seem to have an intuitive ability to connect. Others have lower emotional intelligence, or EQ, and that affects how they interact with other people. People can interact with other people physically through warm, gentle touch, giving a hug, or a violent jab. Sadly, every part of the human being has been affected by sin. When sin entered into creation, it affected people's spirits, breaking the perfect relationship between humans and God. Sin affected people by bringing dysfunction and disease and aging to our souls and our bodies. Ultimately, sin brought death into creation. And that could be a really sad place to end. But we're not going to end there, because there is good news beyond that. As humans, we have all been impacted by the consequences of sin. And yet God, in his love and in his grace, made a way to deal with sin. As we considered 2 weeks ago, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to earth, to be born as a baby who grew and lived among us. Jesus was both fully God and fully human. And therefore Jesus was able to do uniquely what no other human could do. See, only a holy and just God could save us from our sins. Yet only a human could become a sacrifice for humanity And that's what Jesus did. He died a sacrificial death on the cross to defeat the power of sin, death, and the devil. By defeating sin, Jesus made a way for us to receive healing to our minds and bodies. Just like when he was on earth and he touched the lame and the deaf and the blind and he healed them. Just as he restored people's hope and dignity and value, like he did with a woman at the well in John chapter 4, where she had been rejected by her community. But Jesus welcomed them. See, by defeating sin, Jesus made a way for us to be restored spiritually in our spiritual relationship with God, our Father. So how is this possible? See, the thing is, there's nothing that we can do to restore our relationship with God. We can't be good enough, we can't work hard enough that would cause us to earn a restored relationship with God. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 6 puts it this way. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We see there that God saved us through kindness and love and mercy. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, saying that we believe that he is the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins, and we ask for forgiveness of our sins, God forgives us. He forgives us and brings new life to our spirit. That's what it means when it talks about the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. The way Jesus explained it was in John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. What that's saying is flesh gives birth to flesh means that a baby is born naturally, physically. But when someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ, they are reborn. They are born spiritually as the Holy Spirit comes alive in them, bringing their spirit to life. It brings new life to our spirit. Our spirit becomes alive with the Holy Spirit now living in us, now dwelling with us, and we are now in a restored spiritual relationship with God. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 puts it this way. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. See, we're doing this series at the moment on the reality of the Spirit realm. This verse says that you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. This means that your spirit is no longer living in the sin of your past. You've been forgiven. You've been set free from those sins. You are now living in a spiritual freedom given to you by the Holy Spirit now living in you. You are now able to focus on what God desires for you rather than what the world is throwing at you. I love the way it's put in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. See, when you have new life in Christ, you are interested in the things of God more than the things of earth, and that changes everything, including your eternal destiny. See, in this world, your body will age. It will become frail, and whether through disease or aging or accident, your body will die. But faith in Jesus Christ changes everything. See, when you die, your physical body stops working. Your heart stops. Your soul and your spirit leaves your body. And if you have faith in Jesus Christ, your soul and spirit go to be with God. And then, when Jesus comes again, your body will be resurrected. Jesus said in John chapter 5, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out." In other words, all those who have died, who have been buried, will now rise back, be resurrected and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. Each of us must make a decision. As humans, with our body, soul and spirit, we must make a decision that affects our eternal destiny. So as you reflect on the question, who are humans? What we've seen today is that we are God's wonderful creation, who he made to reflect his glory. God created us with a spirit, with a soul, with a body. And although sin brought dysfunction and disease and death into our lives, God, in his love, sent his Son to make a way for us to be renewed, to be restored through Jesus, to become a new creation, to be restored back into relationship with God, our Father. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we become a new creation, which transforms our life on earth here and now and brings us into the presence of God for all eternity. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are God's blessed and beloved children. Let's take a minute. Let's take a minute and just stop and reflect on what you've heard today. Ask yourself, what did God say to me? What did I hear in this message that's resonating, that's asking questions, that's making me reflect? And then ask the question, well, what do I do with what I've heard? What do I do with that? Dear God, thank you for making us. Thank you that despite our sin and wrongdoing, you loved us so much that you gave your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth and die on the cross for our sins. Thank you that through Jesus' death and resurrection, he defeated the power of sin, death and the devil, and made a way for us to be restored back into relationship with you. Lord, many of us have lives that are broken, spiritually, mentally, emotionally or physically. None of us have got it all together. But you invite us into a relationship with you in a way that can transform our lives. And so if there's anyone today who wants to step into that relationship with God that they've not had today, I invite you just to pray along words like these. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for me. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. Please forgive my sins and make me part of your family. I invite you into my life to be my Saviour and Lord. From now on, I will follow you and live the way you want me to. And if you have just prayed that, then there is a new beginning. The Holy Spirit is coming and dwelling within you, is going to live within you and bring life to your spirit, and your life will be changed. Lord, help all of us to follow you and live the way you want us to. Lord, we want to become more and more like the amazing people you created us to be. People who bring glory and honor to your name forever and ever. Amen. As we wrap up now for our service this morning, it's been great to be able to share with you. If you would like prayer, if you'd like to have someone come and pray with you, then we're going to have a prayer team up the front. We do this every Sunday. People who are here to listen to your needs, to pray with you and bring those concerns or needs before the Lord. If you have a need for physical healing, if you want to see God bring physical healing to your life, then we believe God answers those prayers. And so we're going to have children come, children of who just come with their simple faith, believing God still heals today. And they'll pray with you. And we have seen some beautiful answers to those prayers as people have experienced healing. If you would like to stay for tea and coffee, you're welcome to do so. We'd love you to be able to stay if you can. If you are new to Rangeville and you want to know a little bit more about Rangeville, you've got questions you've been wondering about, you want to know a little bit more about the church, etc., then there is a free lunch today at 12 o'clock. It's just up the hallway here. Please come to that. We'd love to be able to meet you, and maybe you can meet some others from the church and have your questions answered and just spend some time together. So that's available today at 12 o'clock. I'd like to close with these wonderful words from 2 Corinthians 13 as a closing blessing. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Have a wonderful week. Look forward to catching up next week. God bless.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 1144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.